flows of angel hair, and ice cream castles in the air, and feathered canyons everywhere. I looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. From up and down, and still somehow it's cloud illusions that I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy dancing way you feel, is every fairy tale comes real. I looked in love that way, but now it's just another show. You'll leave them laughing when you go. And if you care, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love. Tears and fears and feeling proud. Just say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds. I looked at life that way, but now with friends they're acting strange. They shake their heads. Tell me I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusion.
We should have talked about that. I did a memorial service yesterday. This is not why I'm crying, but that's why I'm crying, but it's all of it, right? It's just all of it. It was actually for Clay, Polly Roberts' son, Mark Roberts. And many of you know Polly Roberts from years ago. I'm not supposed to be talking about this. This is not what I'm here to talk about. But I met with his children. And he was, you know, he was in his mid-60s. And he had had a stroke in 2019. And was really never recovered. But in meeting with his children, I knew he had one children. I didn't know he had three. Because I knew he had come out gay late in life. And it seemed like everyone was cool with it. But his kids were like, you know, no one ever really told us. We figured it out. And then he was like singing in the gay men's choir, chorus, and volunteering at HIV Alley. But he was a terrible alcoholic. He was eaten alive, really, by not being able to be who he was. And these kids, you know, told me that they don't think he even wanted to have kids, but he did what he was supposed to do. And that was a burden that they bared in trying to have a relationship with him. And he did his best. And there were good times, you know, but they watched this person that they so valued kind of self-destruct. And I think we all know people like that. And some of us are those people. And that song just like, I just wanted to, and I do want to say this, that you know, they're in their 30s and the daughters both showed up with all their pride stuff on. And they're like, we love him. And we are doing the work to talk about things that our family wouldn't talk about. Yeah. And so I was so touched by them and proud of them, because they not only are doing the work to heal themselves, but in so doing, they're sort of healing what he couldn't do for himself. They're like seeing him for who he was and who he could have been. And so that's like the both sides. And I just can't take it anymore. Okay, you ready for what we're really here about? No, you're not. This is much better, trust me. And so, you know, that's just an invitation for us all. And I know I'm vulnerable from my own work that I've been doing that has taken me deep into some of that old pain that... it wasn't that our family didn't talk about it, we just didn't even know about it, you know? It was like, I was talking to someone over the weekend that, you know, she was in her mid-70s, and she said, you know, when we were raising kids, we didn't talk about mental health. We didn't know what that was for ourselves, let alone our kids. And someone else was remembering that their great-grandmother, who was like 97, I hope it's not someone here. I don't think it is. It's okay, but I would want to tell you who it was. They were like, they got together for a big family reunion, and the grandkids and great-grandkids were like, tell us, you know, how you got through parenting. She had 7 kids, and they were like on a farm. And she was like, what? Parenting. Well, they're all alive. They're good. there wasn't a concept of, did you do that well? They're alive. Right? And so as we know better, we grow better. That great saying that it's not the survival of the fittest, but the survival of the nurtured. And sometimes we have to do that ourselves. And that, you know what? It's a gift that we can. It really, really is. And I think that is part of spiritual work and foundation, that there is that within us as we sing each week that can guide us, that can support us, that can lead us to the people, be that professionals, be that friends, be that groups, to really do the hard work And as we do that, more of us is free. And we are able to be who we're here to be, which the world needs. The world needs. All right, well, that was a little introduction that I had not planned, so thank you. Let's see how I pivot here. Ready? I thought that went pretty good. We're working with Unity's 12 spiritual powers or principles, capacities, abilities. We've already done, as set forth by our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, we've already reviewed faith, love, strength, and wisdom. Today brings us to power. I'm going to unpack that a little bit. And remember, these are our innate capacities that we use all the time. This is an invitation to learn about them and to use them from a higher level of consciousness and awareness, which is ultimately, sometimes I stand on my tiptoes, don't I? Okay. This is ultimately to become taller, in a way, to recognize the capacity, the purpose of this work by Charles Fillmore really was to have a path and these using and cultivating these attributes that we all have in service of our Christ nature, our divine nature, whatever you want to call it, our true infinite self, that within us that is of the divine. And so these capacities, we use them in practical ways for sure, and we're also called to use them in ways that support the revelation of that within us that is of God. And so when we, he assigned, in his thinking, he assigned each one to one of the 12 disciples that was called forth by Jesus in support of his revelation of Christ, the Christ consciousness within him for all of humanity. And so if you put the slide up, I have a slide that shows these for those of you who've been following. The apostle that he assigned to the power, I should say, let me say, that power fuels our capacity of concentration, self-mastery, and spiritual authority. And we'll talk about the difference between cultivating power within ourselves versus having power or thinking we have power over other people or circumstances. So he assigned the apostle Philip to represent this power. Philip was the disciple that after the death of Jesus was a fabulous orator and made huge headway in spreading the message that Jesus had been teaching. So it's the power center in the body is the throat chakra, right? When you have you sensed that when you speak your truth, right? Sometimes your voice even shakes. Sometimes when you have a sense that your power is sort of usurped, you get a lump in your throat. You ever experienced that? I had that experience here how I came to this Unity Center when my father died in 1997 and I needed someone to do his memorial service. And he was not a religious guy, but he was very spiritual. And I came here and I went to the funeral place and the chaplain was like, yeah, I'll meet with you an hour before. And I was like, you didn't even know this guy. I'm going to need a little more time. So someone pointed me here and I met with Anna Lee Rawson, who was the minister at the time, who was very gracious and said, you know, whatever you need, yeah, I'll do it. And then he said, but before you leave, I want to say a prayer with you. And I thought, oh God, here it comes. Because prayer to me was like, there's going to be something I don't, because my dad, mostly about my dad, I was like, don't piss my dad off right now. Like, I want you to do a good job for my dad. And the prayer she said was so powerful and so true that I just started choking. And I'll never forget that, because I was like, what is happening? But it was like I could sense the truth in it, and I've never left since. I was like, whatever's going on here, I'm in. Oh my gosh, I am way off. Okay. You know what you're doing? You're imploring your power of concentration to follow this. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I've been remiss not to add the women of the Bible that have been added since Charles originally did this work. And so Miriam, the sister of Moses, is the woman who is identified with our power of power. The Torah actually refers to Miriam as the prophetess. The Talmud names her as one of the seven major female prophets of Israel. Scripture describes her alongside of Moses and Aaron as delivering the Jews from exile in Egypt. And our power center is best used in conjunction with the power of strength and faith. Now you might think of strength and power very similar, but strength is actually our ability to endure, to stay the course, to be persistent, to persevere, and to stay steady. And faith is our capacity that guides and deepens our power. It's best that we use our sense of power with faith, which is our ability to perceive of higher truths that are not yet fully manifested, and to live with the conviction and expectation that it is so. And the greatest truth is that we are one with Spirit. That is the truth that undermines all that we are doing here and that directs these powers. That there is one source of life, which is the ultimate source of all of these capacities, and the source that binds all of creation together. Do you feel the power of that? Yeah. So originally, this power was referred to as dominion. And we've updated that. Anyone have a little aversion to dominion? Yeah. Anybody have an aversion to power? Power and authority are kind of up right now. I don't know if you noticed. Who decides whose power over who and who has authority over who? So it's important to recognize, I want to unpack that just a tiny bit by saying that really the highest use of dominion is to master and control first and foremost ourselves, our own thoughts, our own feelings, our own actions that inform how we go about interacting with the world. And it's interesting that the ways of the world, which we are also responsible for and responsive to, tend to have us placing our power outside of us, in certain people, in certain circumstances, in certain status, in certain commodities, in certain, even our God is somebody out here. Has been, it's not anymore, right? Okay. Separate, powering over us. So it makes sense then that we misuse our power to try to control things outside of us. How well do you do at that? And it takes your energy away, and it usurps the depth and the truth of this power faculty. The whole point and purpose of which is to discover the power within us. And to do that, we have to begin with ourselves, concentrating on understanding what makes us tick and what our unique strengths are, what our unique gifts are, what our weaknesses are. Charles Fillmore was fond of saying that the first step of spiritual awakening is self-awareness. Darn it! And here's the other thing about dominion that has this bad rap, and I totally get it. This, from the creation story in Genesis, right, that we are granted dominion over all the creatures and all the animals. We can just do as we damn well please.
This is not a metaphysical lesson on Genesis. If you want that, we can do that, but that's not what we're doing today. But I will tell you that when we think, that is a story that is an allegory, that is a continuation, really, of a myth to understand who we are and what we are and what our power is. When we interpret that literally, it's confusing. It doesn't make sense. And that's what we're figuring out, and that's why many people have just said, that is nonsense. I'm not even... Because it's not meant to be literal. So, and Charles Fillmore did this work. He said, I'm all wrapped up now. Hang on a minute. Basically, suffice it to say that the wild animals and every creeping thing that creeps that we are given dominion over actually refers to our impulses, our low-level thoughts that swarm our mind and produce after their kind. We are to have power and dominion over those in our spiritual development. It goes even deeper. We need more time. But a very different take than God said we just can have power over everything. Let's do it. Look where that has gotten us. And you know, just because we believed it for a time, it doesn't mean we have to believe it for eternity. We take what we believe and we move forward to the next best expression. As I was preparing for this lesson today, I simply could not ignore the fact that there are people in our world actually not able to claim their personal power and authority because of their government, because they're in the middle of a war, because they're the wrong gender, because they're the wrong race. We cannot, when I say the wrong, excuse me, that is a perception. Nobody is the wrong anything. We can't underestimate the power of our power. That people can, in power, can have that sort of power is powerful. And it has the power to determine people's self-worth and capacity for life. And that is a misuse of power in my mind. And yet I absolutely believe in the depth of this teaching and the truth of this teaching that we have the power within us to control and to grow and to expand our thoughts and our beliefs and our actions. And we have to be accountable and be responsible and be part of the solution that lets the whole of humanity participate in that, that recognizes the whole of humanity is able to do that and is worthy of doing that. I think that that is why we're seeing so many people with power stepping up and using that power for greater good. Even when their voice shakes, even when they lose friends over it, even when they lose status over it. The time has really come to consider things anew, beyond the limited consciousness of power and control over people, to really center on the inherent worth and wisdom and value of all people and all life. And that is what really empowers us all. Do you agree? And we have the power to do that. The power that rules the world is within, was a famous Charles Fillmore quote. The power that rules the universe is the power within. So we take God out of this role of being powerful to being the energy of power itself that we then are the conductors of, the expressors of. And we see we can do it for good or not. That is really the power and the responsibility of being human. So we can concentrate on the expansion of truth using our power of a concentration, expansion of truth, or on limited belief systems that are always being brought into the light when we outgrow them. And truth, the truth is, even in the midst of what can feel like limitations and falling apart, we have access to the fullness of possibilities, infinite possibilities through divine mind. If we know that we have a connection, we are an inlet to that. If we think we're just all this, we don't even open up to that. We're busy managing all this and managing all of this. Do what I say. I don't know anything about that, but Linda Martella-Witsit says this: self-mastery is our capacity to guide our thoughts, words, and actions in integrity with our infinite self, instead of reacting from our only human or egoic impulses. Those are the things that the animals represent. Controlling and managing those in order to know and express our infinite self. As I understand it, take a breath, get this. Just really let this in. I mean, this is my understanding. You can be like, well, I don't know what you're saying, lady, but I think it's true. And I think you might too. As I understand it, there is one infinite self, and we are all unique expressions of it. Because there is only one source of life, whatever you call it, God, the One, divine intelligence, divine love, we really share this equally and completely. There is no, and we know that, there is no need to control anything. There is that one source of life that is trying to live through us. And we seem to be just in a, but what about me? And I'm in a, turn to the source. Let it be what you need it to be. What it is what you are. And listen, I am all caught up. I can get all caught up in who I think I am or should be. I'm not saying I've mastered it, but I'm getting it. And I hope you are too. That as we look into our world with all that is falling apart and waiting to be rebuilt, there's an opportunity to build from an awareness that we are one. And that the power of life itself raises up to support us. This is the meaning of perfect love casting out all fear. So my point is that we are powerful. And it's up to us to know it and to claim that. And the purpose of our power, as I understand it, is to express all that we can imagine God to be, which is good, which is pure goodness, pure love, compassion, wisdom, understanding, strength, all of those things. And they're not just to be used for our own good. That's where we start, for sure, transforming our own lives and our own minds, and we transform the world in the process. That is the definition or the purpose behind Divine Audacity, the book that I'm referencing from Linda Martella-Witsit. Bold spiritual living under the radical premise that I am divine, that my nature and your nature is divine. So how do we do this? This is really the purpose, the deep purpose of prayer and meditation, to connect and open our mind to the power beyond which we can't hardly imagine, that gets confined and constrained in our human understanding, to be open, to be an inlet to that energy, to guide us, to inform us, to comfort us, to heal, whatever it is. So we'll take time now to do that. And take a deep breath. Do something if you're about to fall asleep, because this meditation will lull you right into that. We're going to sing into the meditation today, because it's a sweet meditation chant. So just take a deep breath. Yeah. Stretch it out. Take a deep breath into that place within us, dropping down with each breath, letting that breath invite us inward. Closing our eyes if that's comfortable. Again, feeling ourselves supported by the ground and the chair. Letting each breath be your focus as you quiet your mind a bit to just connect inwardly. Breathing a full body breath. Our breath energizes our whole body. So we feel that breath pass through our throat. Right through that power center, our throat chakra. Recognizing the power of our words, the power of our voice in speaking words of truth about ourselves and about each other. So centering in your breath, just recognize that that throat area is your power center. And may your faculty of faith and strength guide you in staying steady and persevering in speaking truth. And the greatest truth is that the power that rules the world is within you, so within me. For our source of power is divine power itself, the life intelligence that imbues all of life and creation. Is the source that powers us. And when we're centered in that, there is nothing that we can't do or say or be. So just affirm that in the silence for yourself now. My source of power is divine power. I concentrate on that truth. My source of power is divine power. It is infinite, endless, unchanging. You can call upon it and it will respond. My source of power is divine power. And when we feel empowered from the inside out, we have no need to power over anyone. And so we hold. We hold those who feel as though they have no power in this space of power, beholding the truth for them as well. Claiming that infinite one self, what one does affects the other. So we hold the wholeness of life and creation and humanity in the truth that the source of it all is a shared source. And so as we make our way through our day and our week, we consciously choose to concentrate and focus and master these sorts of thoughts. When we begin to doubt, when we begin to fear, when we begin to react, my source of power is divine power. And I and you are moving each and every day toward this experience of spiritual authority, where we know what we are and we begin to act accordingly. And so for this awareness, for this capacity, for this ability to do this and to know and to be able to grow with it and through it, we are so grateful. We start wherever we are. And we let it be. And so it is. Opening your eyes if you haven't already. Thank you so much for being here today. Now is the time in our service where we prepare our support of this ministry through our tithes and our offerings, blessing those together. So however you are giving today, I invite you to, if you have a check or cash, there are baskets in the back. You can maybe take that out and prepare it. If you've given online, thank you for doing that. If you'd like to know how to do that, you can grab your phone and scan the QR code in your bulletin that will take you to an electronic giving platform. So know that all of these gifts go forward to do the work of good and the work of love in the world. And so by that, given in that vein, they are already blessed. But we love to bless them together each week. So I invite you to say our blessing with us. Divine love, as me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. I am thankful. Come on up, Sarah. Thank you. It's been great today with you.
Real quick, I wanted to invite you to a big old party I'm throwing this Friday night. It's going to be a big concert in celebration of the one-year anniversary of the first album I released, and my birthday is also in 2 weeks, so it's kind of like 1 year of that, and I'm turning 25, so come celebrate. come celebrate. It's at Town Hall Collaborative, which is in the Santa Fe Arts District, and it starts at 7 o'clock. It's going to be wonderful. Would love for you all to come. There are flyers out front about it. This song I'm about to play is one I wrote, and it feels like, if I could express it like you were talking about, it feels like me stepping into and waking up to the divine power. It's called Colorado Canvas. Something new is brewing. Wake up, smell it, dear. You can trust its goodness. Carved space has brought it here. Always been right here, so